book of Exodus, if you want to turn there. We want to make some comments prior to starting. As we think on the subject of sinners dying right. Sinners dying right. And we're going to use Aaron, who was the older brother of Moses, as our illustration in this. Aaron is mentioned 331 times, or no, excuse me, he's mentioned in 331 verses, sometimes more than once, and so I believe that there's enough sufficient evidence to check his life out to find out if he matches what we're speaking of. The word Aaron means a light bringer. You remember how it was that when God had called Moses, he just had every excuse in the world, and Aaron was one of the ways the Lord closed off an excuse. He says, well, if you can't speak, get Aaron. He can speak. He was the light bringer. And we need to understand that Aaron had quite a reputation. And we find that we want to look at some things that we know about Aaron and establish the fact that he was a well-designed sinner. He was a religious Jew, and yet he was a well-designed sinner. And we want to validate that from the scriptures. And then we want to note how he died. And then we want to note how it was that he could die the way he did based on his former life. So I trust that we'll be able to do all that tonight. Take your Bible and go to the book of Exodus chapter 32. And we're going to begin reading in verse number 1, reading down through verse number 6. And here we're going to find the story of when he allowed the people to have him lead them to making the golden calf. Very familiar story. The Bible says, and when the people saw that Moses delayed to come down out of the mount, the people gathered themselves together unto Aaron and said unto him, up, make us gods which shall go before us. For as for this Moses, the man that brought us up out of the land of Egypt, we wot not what is become of him. And Aaron said unto them, break off the golden earrings which are in the ears of your wives, of your sons, and of your daughters, and bring them unto me. And all the people brake off the golden earrings which were in their ears, and brought them unto Aaron. And he received them at their hand, and fashioned it with a graving tool, after he had made a molten calf. And they said, these be thy gods, O Israel, which brought thee up out of the land of Egypt. And when Aaron saw it, he built an altar before it, and Aaron made proclamation and said, tomorrow is the feast to the Lord. And they rose up early in the morning and offered burnt offerings and brought peace offerings, and the people sat down to eat and to drink and rose up to play. Here we find that here's one piece of evidence that we're going to put on a shelf somewhere and say that Aaron was a great sinner. Aaron had committed multiple sins when he had this calf made, when he was allowed himself to be pressured by society, pressured by Jewish membership, pressured by people close to him to change his stance, to change his position. He failed in all those things and was a great sinner before God. Now take your Bibles and go to the book of Leviticus, Leviticus chapter number 10. Exodus and then Leviticus. We'll try to keep this slow. There's a number of places we want to look at. Here we're going to find that he absolutely failed his own family. Beginning in verse number 1 of chapter 10, the Bible says, and Nadab and Abihu, the sons of Aaron, took either of them his censer and put fire therein and put incense thereon and offered strange fire before the Lord, which he commanded them not. Have you ever done anything God said don't do? That's what these boys did. And they went out fire from the Lord and devoured them, and they died before the Lord. Then Moses said unto Aaron, this is it that the Lord spake, saying, I will be sanctified in them that come nigh me. Before all the people I will be glorified. And Aaron held his peace. So Aaron at this point in his life loses both of his boys. one time, one day, and because they became modernist. They decided they could do it their way instead of God's way. Somebody say, well, it's such a little thing. It's not a little thing if it violates God's word. We dismiss a lot of things in our life. We dismiss gossip. We dismiss backbiting. We dismiss a lousy spirit, a terrible spirit, a wicked spirit. We dismiss all those things saying, it's just a little thing. But if it's just a little thing and it violates God's word, it's no longer a little thing. It's a huge matter. It can change life. It can change a whole lot of things. Go with me now, if you will, to the book of Numbers, chapter number 12. Numbers chapter number 12. Chapter number 12, beginning in verse number 1. It's going to be a short message tonight because I usually have about 45 minutes worth of water up here and I got about 15 minutes tonight. Amen. Chapter 12 of the book of Numbers, verse number 1. And Miriam, this is the sister of Moses and Aaron. Miriam and Aaron spake against Moses because of the Ethiopian woman. You remember this morning in the message, one of the charges that God brought against lost people was that they spoke against their own brothers. They spoke against their own mother's son. And here these two leaders in Israel, Miriam and Aaron, are speaking against their own mother's son, who's also their political and spiritual leader. Not only is he their brother and they're talking bad about him, but they're speaking about him in the places of leadership. So Miriam and Aaron spake against Moses because of the Ethiopian woman which he had married, for he had married an Ethiopian woman. And they said, hath the Lord indeed spoken only by Moses? Hath he not spoken also by us? Notice these next three words. And the Lord heard. The Lord heard it. Now the man Moses was very meek above all the men which were upon the face of the earth. And the Lord spake suddenly to Moses and unto Aaron and unto Miriam, come out ye three unto the tabernacle of the congregation. And they three came out. And the Lord came down in the pillar of a cloud and stood in the door of the tabernacle and called Aaron and Miriam, and both of them came forth. And he said, hear now my words. If there be a prophet among you, I, the Lord, will make myself known unto him in a vision and will speak unto him in a dream. My servant Moses is not so, who is faithful in all my house. And with him will I speak mouth to mouth, even apparently, and not in dark speeches, and the similitude of the Lord shall he behold. Wherefore then were ye not afraid to speak against my servant Moses? Thank you. Oh my goodness. Now we're in trouble because you brought an hour and a half glass of water. Amen. Here we find, first off, he made the golden calf and he lied about it. Sinner. He raised his boys, and when they were old enough to make decisions for themselves, they chose to be modernists. Sinner. Chapter number 12, he rebelled against Moses, a God-given authority. Sinner. Sometimes we think so little of raising up against a God-given authority, and we're not getting any better in it as a nation. And of course, rather than as churches go, so go our nation. But now we find that our churches are following our nation, wanting to be in the in crowd. Boy, is that causing some confusion. We know God's not the author of that. If they say it's wrong, we accept that it must be wrong. We try to dodge around things and so forth. But the Bible testifies that we have authorities in our lives placed there by God. And to be against the authority is to be against God. No small thing. Numbers chapter number 20. Go over in Numbers just a little ways further. Chapter number 20. And we'll begin in verse number 7. The Bible says, and the Lord spake unto Moses, saying, take the rod, and gather thou and the assembly together, thou and Aaron thy brother, and speak ye unto the rock before their eyes. Now, here's something you'll find in your King James Bible. You're not going to find it in any other English Bible that I know of. Notice what he says here in verse number, you know, the ye's and the these and the thou's and such things as that. Verse number 12 says, he's speaking to Moses, and he says, take the rod And gather thou the assembly together, thou and Aaron, thy brother, and speak ye. Now, is ye plural or singular?
Plural.
So he said, I want both of you to speak to the children of Israel. Speak unto the rock, or speak unto the rock before their eyes, and it shall give forth his water, and thou shalt bring forth to them water out of the rock, so thou shalt give the congregation and their beasts drink. And Moses took the rod before the Lord as he commanded him. And Moses and Aaron gathered the congregation together before the rock, and he said unto them, Hear now, ye rebels, must we fetch you water out of this rock? And Moses lifted up his hand, and with his rod he smote the rock twice, and the water came out abundantly, and the congregation drank, and the beasts also. And the Lord spake unto Moses and Aaron, Because ye, plural, because ye believed me not to sanctify me in the eyes of the children of Israel, therefore ye shall not bring this congregation into the land which I have given them. This is the water of Meribah, because the children of Israel strove with the Lord, and he was sanctified in them. So here we find that when the rock was struck the second time, now when it was struck the first time, he was in compliance. When it was struck the second time, he was in rebellion. The picture here is a picture of what Jesus Christ is going to do. Jesus Christ had to be smitten. He had to be crushed. He had to be broken. He had to be crucified, or we have no salvation. But after the crucifixion of the Lord Jesus, thank God he only had to do that once. And thank God he was willing to do it once. But we need to understand that that rock oft times is smitten a second time. When we try to interfere with his work, we try to do his work for him, we try to overshadow or overreach in our work and so forth, we get angry, we get hasty, we do things, we make decisions we ought not to make, and in a moment of time, we smite the rock rather than speaking to the rock, we break the picture, and it's just like crucifying Christ a second time, and we know God is not for that, and we find that the Bible testifies that Aaron, listen, was guilty by association. He was guilty because he didn't try to stop it. He was guilty because he knew what was happening. He was guilty because God charged him with being guilty. It wasn't just that some Baptist preacher got up one day and said, I think Aaron's guilty too. The Bible, in our perfect Bible, tells us they were both responsible for the smiting of that rock the second time. I submit to you that Aaron was a sinner. In the place where we started in Exodus chapter 32, we find that not only not only did he make the calf, but we find beginning in verse number 24, the Bible testifies that I said it. Here he's giving his explanation to Moses. Moses comes down and says, "Brother, what did you do?" And he's going to give his explanation, verse number 24. I said unto them, Whosoever hath any gold, let them break it off. So they gave it me, then I cast it into the fire, and there came out this calf. But when you read over in verse number 4, a portion of scripture we've already read, it says that he fashioned it with a graving tool. So he didn't just pop in and pop out. He worked on this. He labored this. He had this thought in mind. He had this picture. He had this plan. Had this program. And the Bible testifies that when he's caught now and doing it and he's put in a pinch, what does he do? He does like most people do. He blames someone else. It's the police's fault. It's the sheriff's fault. It's the lawyer's fault. It's the school's fault. It's public's fault. It's the politician's fault. It's the Methodist's fault. It's the Catholic's fault. We always have someone else to blame. Most of the time, most of our problems, we look at them when we shave or comb our hair in the mirror. The biggest problem I have is me. One of the greatest sins we can commit is to blame everybody else instead of accepting our own responsibility for it. Verse number 25 says, When Moses saw that the people were naked, for Aaron had made them naked unto their shame among their enemies, we find that he was going to blame other people for the sin in his life. And so I submit to you tonight all these evidences and say that our brother Aaron was a sinner. He was a sinner, just like you and I are. Maybe he planned some of them a little more. He wasn't thinking thoroughly in some of the situations, but that's not anyone's fault but his. We are asked of God to reason together with Him. We are asked of God to talk with Him. We're asked of God to receive counsel from Him. We're asked from God. We're told of God that we have the mind of Christ. And yet we blunder ahead and do all these foolish things that Moses did. We know these things. And these things are written in the eternal Word of God. When Pike's Peak has melted and flowed into the Platte River, that's gone into the Missouri, and that's gone into the Mississippi, and that's gone into the Gulf of Mexico, these words will still be true. It's recorded forever that Aaron was a sinner. We need to understand that. And yet, when Aaron died, he died right. Now, how can that be? Notice in Numbers chapter number 20 again. We'll chase another few verses. Numbers chapter number 20. Thank you, brother, for the water, by the way. Numbers chapter 20, beginning in verse number 22. The Bible says, "And the children of Israel, even the whole congregation, journeyed from Kadesh and came unto Mount Hor. And the Lord spake unto Moses and Aaron in Mount Hor by the coast of the land of Edom, saying, Aaron shall be gathered unto his people, for he shall not enter into the land which I gave unto the children of Israel, because ye," plural again, "because ye rebelled against my word at the water of Meribah. Take Aaron and Eleazar his son, and bring them up onto the mount, unto Mount Hor, and strip Aaron of his garments, and put them upon Eleazar his son, and Aaron shall be gathered unto his people, and shall die there. And Moses did as the Lord commanded, and they went up into Mount Hor in the sight of all the congregation, and Moses stripped Aaron of his garments, and put them upon Eleazar his son, and Aaron died there at the top of the mount. And Moses and Eleazar came down from the mount. When all the congregation saw that Aaron was dead, they mourned for Aaron 30 days, even all the house of Israel." Note a couple of things. First off, he dies on top of a mountain. Now, for us, that wouldn't mean very much. Who cares if you die on top of Pike's Peak or in a wheat field somewhere? It doesn't make any difference to us spiritually. But for them, it did count something. You remember, Moses died on a mountain. And this makes it like Moses' death. Remember, the Lord Jesus died on a mountain. And so there's something special. God didn't kill him down on the plain. God didn't kill him even in the sight of all the congregation of Israel. They knew what was happening up there. But God took him up on a mountain, and he dies on top of a mountain. And that was a plus in our sinner Aaron's life. It was like Moses. It was like his brother Moses. It was like Aaron. It was like his Savior, the Lord Jesus Christ. In chapter number 20 and verse number 29, the Bible says that the people verse number 28 first. The Bible says that they stripped Aaron of his garments and put them upon Eleazar his son. So here we find another thing that when it came to dying and dying right, we find that God rewarded him and allowed him to see his ministry pass from himself to Eleazar, his son. Having a son in the ministry, I can testify to you the thrill, the privilege, the humility, really, that comes with the fact that you have somebody following in your footsteps, going to serve the Lord, doing greater things for God than what I have done, and what a joy that is in my heart and my life. And I can see Aaron, when he's there, he knows he's going to die, and yet he sees the robes taken from him, and they're put on his son Eleazar, and they're stitched up, laced up, fastened up, however, and Aaron must have had great joy in seeing that. And so the Bible says when they put them up on Eleazar, his son, Aaron died there in the top of the mountain. And Moses and Aaron and Eleazar came down together. Now, Eleazar means God has helped. And I'm sure when that was passing, the garments were passing from Aaron to Eleazar. Often, how often, I wonder, did Aaron think how much God had helped him to that point, and how unworthy he was of the place that he stood on a mountain to die like his brother's going to, on a mountain to die like his Savior's going to. And then the Bible tells us in verse 29 that he was mourned for 30 days. That's like his brother Moses was or would be. We need to understand that he had some pluses towards the end of his life. And when we think about sinners dying right, Aaron's dying right. And I have to ask myself the question, how did he go from all this evidence that he was rotten and spoilt and rebellious and hard-headed and all those things, and yet he's going to die right? How did that happen? We'll note that a little bit. I want to note one other thing that I think is important. In Numbers chapter 25, we find this is the grandson, speaking here of the grandson of Aaron. Chapter 25, beginning in verse number 6. The Bible says, "And behold, one of the children of Israel came and brought unto his brother a Midianitish woman in the sight of Moses and in the sight of all the congregation of the children of Israel, who were weeping before the door of the tabernacle of the congregation." This is a man who's going to commit gross immorality right in the front of everybody and not care what anybody thinks. Kind of looks like America 2019. So this man brings this woman, takes her in the sight of all the nation of Israel. Verse 7, "And Phinehas, the son of Eleazar, the son of Aaron, the priest, saw it. And he rose up from the congregation and took a javelin in his hand, and he went after the man of Israel into the tent and thrust both of them through, the man of Israel and the woman through her belly, so the plague was stayed from the children of Israel, and those that died in the plague were 24,000. And so here we see that he left a grandson with enough grit and gumption and courage in his life to take a stand when no one else would. My son has a son that's called to preach. And I trust that he's as gutsy as Phinehas was gutsy for Aaron, his grandpa. I hope he'll take the stands. I hope he'll take the positions that he's supposed to. I hope his life will more than make up for the sins of his daddy and the sins of his grandpa, the sins of his forefathers and so forth." But here we find that when Aaron died, he died right. And we ask ourselves the question, how can that be? Well, go back with me to where we started in Exodus chapter 22 or 32. Exodus chapter 32. The question comes, I think, to someone who thinks, and I believe we ought to think. I believe that the Bible, one of the processes of the Bible is to cause us to think. Are we not told to meditate upon the Word of God? The word meditate means to think about what we've read, think about what we know, think about what we've thought. Hash it over, go over it again, go over it again, go over it again. Exodus chapter 20 or 32, beginning in verse number 25, we find that Aaron has said, out comes this calf, poof, just kind of pops out. Threw in all this gold, and poof, out comes this calf. And when Moses saw that the people were naked, verse 25, for Aaron had made them naked under their shame among the enemies, their enemies, then Moses stood in the gate of the camp and said, "Who is on the Lord's side, let him come unto me." And all the sons of Levi gathered themselves together unto him. Let me ask you a question. Of what tribe was Aaron? Levi. He was a Levite. Verse number 26, the Bible says, the question was asked, "Who is on the Lord's side? Let him come unto me." And all the sons of Aaron gathered themselves together unto him. Do you suppose probably Aaron was in that position? Now this is one verse from where he's lied, where he's tried to pass the buck, tried to blame everybody else, but there was a line drawn, and Moses said, "Who's on the Lord's side? Let him come unto me." And in a moment of time, Aaron went from a dirty dog of a Christian to a champion for the faith of God. Notice the Bible says that when he asked the question, who is on the Lord's side? Let him come unto me. All the sons of Levi gathered themselves together unto him. Verse 27, and he said unto them, thus saith the Lord God of Israel, put every man his sword by his side and go in and out from gate to gate throughout the camp and slay every man his brother and every man his companion and every man his neighbor. And the children of Levi did according to the word of Moses, and there fell of the people that day about 3,000 men. So here we find these things about Aaron at a point in his life. When the question was asked, who is on the Lord's side? Immediately he answered the question. Immediately he answered the call. He didn't sit through 15 invitations or 25 invitations or a lifetime of invitations and say, I'm good enough the way I am. Aaron knew what he was. He knew what he had done. He knew the fallacy of all that he had done. And so Aaron simply says, I'm on the Lord's side. And he answered, first off, he answered very openly. He didn't sit in his pew and say, oh, I hope nobody else ever finds out what I'm really guilty of. No. When an opportunity was given to take a public stand for Christ, he got out of his seat or onto his feet or off of his horse or off the rock or wherever he was, and he walked to Moses and presented himself as one that was on God's side, lock, stock, and barrel. He openly professed the Lord. Before the eyes of all, he committed himself. You see, it's real easy to say, okay, Lord, I agree. Okay, Lord, I will. Okay, Lord, I'll stop. Okay, Lord, I never will again. And then walk outside and know nobody on earth knows I said that. Nobody on earth will know if I don't do that. No, that wasn't the way it was with Aaron. And he didn't go from the sinner that he was to a sinner dying correctly by being wishy-washy with his decisions to follow Christ. He took an open position for Christ and he committed himself in a way that he could not get back on it without everybody knowing that he's a liar and two-faced. He openly admitted to following the Lord. Secondly, he was honest. He was honest. He wasn't lying about it. He wasn't just making talk. He wasn't just saying something at church amongst all of his friends that he couldn't respond to or couldn't hold up to when he got outside. I heard a story. It's told as a true story. I don't know any of the characters of the story, nor do I know where the story originated. But in a land where worshiping the Lord was forbidden, and there was a sentence of death on anyone who would, and we can name several people. You could go to North Korea and have that happen. You could go to Muslim countries and have that happen today. So I don't doubt that that could happen. And into a prayer meeting burst these rebels with guns hanging around their neck and pointed at everybody and grenades hanging from their waist and all these things. A bunch of rebels. A bunch of people who had killed and could kill. And they simply said this, all those of you who are willing to die for Jesus, stay, the rest of you can leave. And nearly everybody left. They put their weapons down, opened their packs up, took out Bibles and said, now we can have a real church. You see, these folk were honest. These rebels wanted honest people to worship with. And that's exactly what Aaron did. Aaron was not offering anything flowery. Aaron didn't offer any more excuses. Aaron, when the line was drawn, they said, who's on the Lord's side? He said, I'm there. God helping me, I'm there. And Aaron took an open position and Aaron took an honest position. And then Aaron took a complete position. There wasn't anything about him that wasn't on the Lord's side. He didn't say, well, Lord, you can have all of it except this. You can have all of it except that. He said, I'm on the Lord's side 100%. I'm going to live for Jesus 100%. Not just when it's easy. Not when the south winds are blowing softly. Not when it's popular politically. not when it's easy peasy, but I'm going to live for Jesus. That's my heart's desire. And he took an open position for the Lord. And he died on a mountain. They mourned for him for 30 days. And he left a son serving the Lord and a grandson serving the Lord. And if we don't take the same position, we'll always wonder why our children, our grandchildren, aren't serving the Lord like Jesus wants them to. They don't have to serve like we want them to, but they surely ought to want to serve like he wants them to. God help us. Let's pray. Father, I thank you tonight for the Word of God. Lord, we've looked at a lot of different places, a lot of different times, a lot of different stories in the life of this one called Aaron, the older brother of the man who was the meekest of men upon the face of the earth. Thank you, Father, for this light bringer. Thank you, Father, that his errors were corrected, his sin was forgiven. He made a full allegiance to you and a powerful one. Father, he took a stand that the entire nation of Israel knew about. I'm sure he was under the microscope after that. I'm sure people watched and people probably guessed and people wondered. But Father, he died right, and we're glad of that. And we pray, Father, that we too, when we meet our time to leave this place, I pray, Father, that we'd leave a hole here, that people would miss us when we're gone, not just because of our financial contributions or because of our numbers that we might have added, but Lord, because of our character, because of our position in Christ, because of our favor with him, people will miss our influence and miss what we've contributed that way. And Father, I pray that we'd leave people behind us that are serving greater than what we are, accomplishing more than what we ever did or ever will. And Father, I pray that their numbers might increase as we continue to try to be faithful in the things of God. Help us, Father, not to dip the flag. Help us, Father, not to pull the punches. Help us, Father, to deal honestly and openly with people, not behind their backs, not to, in any kind of a distasteful or dishonest way. Help us, Father, to be what we're supposed to be when we name the name of the Lord Jesus. Help us to be sinners that are able to die right one day. Help us to know how to do that. And we'll praise you for every victory. In Jesus' name, amen. Let's all stand.